Chapter 18. Saviour's Vengeance. The entire legionary force was arrayed around the Saviour in shadow, bearing witness to the Primarch's sentence upon Arch-Comptroller Agarth. Corvus Korax brooded on the command throne. His crew went about their work in silence, under the glaring eye of the Carinian sun. The ocular shutters were open. The reactive armor glass turned up to near full opacity to shield the deck from harmful radiation. The sun occupied most of the view, and only a thin curve of black, writhing with coronal flares, hinted at the void beyond. Having the shutters withdrawn from the oculus presented many dangers. The Saviour in shadow was very close to the star, its human eyes and machine systems blinded by it. Without the meters of armor the shutters gave, the command deck was vulnerable to suicide runs by enemy ships or the hyper-range weaponry of the floating cities. But Korax wanted to watch. The outpost was falling into the sun. Gravity impellers and engines disabled, the Carinian star exerted its undeniable pull upon the station's mass. From Korax's perspective, the outpost appeared as a black silhouette dropping slowly, almost gracefully, into the sea of fire. But the Primarch saw through the optical illusion. The station was travelling at vast speeds and accelerating rapidly. Only the distance it must travel and the relative enormousness of the sun granted its seeming dignity. Within a hololithic projection sphere, a light-spun model floated. Korax had the device set to a thermal view, showing the dying orbital as a blended pattern of whites, oranges, and upon the surface pointing away from the sun, a faint trace of cool red. A sole voice gabbled, that of Agarth, broadcast over the vox into the bridge and sent on to the remaining cities by the Saviour in Shadow's communication staff. Nearly 4 hours had passed since the Moritat had returned to the Tenebrous. 4 hours of pompous declamations of the sovereignty of the Thousand Moons and ranting denunciations of the Imperium. All the while, the temperature aboard the station increased. For short periods, Agarth was silent, but then his anger or his fear would get the better of him, and he would begin anew. Korax ordered no one to reply. Similarly, the multiple requests for remote audience sent by Admiral Fenk went unanswered. The business with Agarth must be concluded first. A second, larger hololithic ball showed the ongoing battle against the remaining thousand cities prosecuted by Fenk. The miniature worlds had arranged themselves into an admirable defence in depth. The Sodality's armada sallied out from this complex, ever-shifting fortress, delivering punishing blows against the 27th Expeditionary Fleet, even as it wallowed under constant bombardment. Imperial army forces, including the Raven Guard's allied Therions, were taking the cities one by one, but over the weeks the toll in lives and ships was high. Some of the Primarch's officers were unhappy about his prosecution of the war. All of Fenk's were, but Korax was resolute. Justice must come first. He watched the strategic display as a ship marker flashed and its data tag turned red, blinked, and faded away. He turned his eyes back upon the falling station. Some of the station's shields remained active. A misty veil of energetic particles streamed upwards around it, painting in the solar wind in vivid colour. There was a beauty to this death that Agarth did not deserve.
"Time to station destruction," said Korax quietly.
His words cut through Agarth's angry rhetoric like a las scalpel.
12 minutes, my lord," responded the augury watch officer. "The last of their thermal shields are failing."
A yellow flame burst upwards from the station, hardly visible against the greater fires of the sun. As the station began to break, so did its master. Agarth's speech suddenly changed.
"Please,"
he said, his voice distorted by the sun's mighty electromagnetic roar.
"Please, I understand what I did was wrong. I should have listened. I should have given your proposal the attention it deserved. If you rescue me, I promise we shall return to negotiations. I can speak with my fellow lords of the Thousand Moons. The Sodality has seen your might, my lord. We can reach some accommodation. I can be a powerful ally to you."
He went on in this vein for a few minutes, continuing without pause, even when men began to scream in the background. The station glowed so brightly in the thermal image, its shape was lost. Through the oculus, it became hard to see, for the colour of the hull was changing to match that of the sun.
"It is time," said Korax.
He stood from his throne and bade the hololith be activated.
"Arch-Comptroller Agarth," he said, "I stand in judgment of you not as a conqueror, but as all moral men must stand in judgment of tyrants wherever they are encountered."
"Please, listen to me,"
Agarth attempted to speak back, but Korax's voice rode the Arch-Comptroller's words down, trampling them into nothing.
"When we arrived here, you were among the most vocal in defense of this system's right to govern itself. In support of your arguments, you cited the defense of the people against outside tyranny as being supreme in your duties as a leader. And yet, when faced with certain military defeat, rather than surrendering and saving the lives of those you were bound to safeguard, you destroyed their minds, turning them into unreasoning creatures simply to stall my warriors' advance. You murdered hundreds of thousands of people to prevent your death. And yet here we are. Your end was inevitable. You are dying, Arch-Comptroller. As the temperature rises within your refuge and your flesh roasts upon your bones, you shall see why this had to be done. The Emperor of Mankind sent out his crusade to save humanity from creatures like you. You at least will remain aware of what fate awaits you, unlike the poor souls you condemn to mindless hunger to save your own worthless life. This judgment of fire I pronounce upon you, Arch-Comptroller Agarth. I made a promise that mine would be the last face you should see. It has come to pass. So shall all oppressors die by my hand.
Curse you! Curse you and your emperor! I curse you forever! Why should we be slaves when we were emperors already? Why should... Why...
Agarth made a choking sound and began to scream.
"You reveal your true colours, as all men will when faced by death," said Korax. "Goodbye, Arch-Comptroller."
For an entire minute, Agarth screamed. The channel growled with stellar interference, but his screaming remained audible until, with a pathetic flare of yellow fire no more mighty than a spitting candle, the station burned up.
"It is done," said Korax.
His crew looked to him.
"Order the Legion away from the sun. Signal Admiral Fenk and inform him the Raven Guard will join the battle. Send messages without cipher. Broadcast Agarth's last 3 minutes on constant loop throughout the system. All these petty lordlings will rue the day they declined the Emperor's generosity."
The sun's blazing ocean moved as the prow of the Savior in shadow swept around with gathering speed, replacing orange fire with ink-black void.
"Let them know I am coming,"